Blog Talk Radio.
Nehemiah 8 and 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. When we receive a word from the Lord, our answer should be, Amen. Let the church say, Amen. Let the church say, Amen. Let the church say, Amen. God has spoken. So let the church say, Amen. Yeah. Let the church, let them say Amen. If you believe the word, let the whole church say Amen. God has spoken, so let the church say Amen. Lift your hands, lift your hands. God has spoken, so let the church say Amen. No. Thank you, Lord. God has spoken, so let the church say
praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. In Jesus' name, also want to say welcome to the people that are watching live on Facebook Live. In Jesus' name, I do want to say this before we get started. All rights and royalties that are given unto the Summit Internet Radio Podcast is not underneath the Spirit Alive Network nor Blog Talk Radio. In Jesus' name, all donations, financial is not underneath the obligation of the Spirit Alive Network nor Blog Talk Radio, and is only used for your for the progression of the ministry of the Summit Internet Radio Podcast Station. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we have a very, very powerful lesson on today, on a very, very powerful topic today. For people that are watching on Facebook Live and for the people that are listening to me around the world, we thank you for, coming and listening to today's topic on today. Today's topic is the sword and the spirit. And you might say, that's a very, very powerful topic when you talk about the sword and the spirit, because we need both in our spiritual walk with Christ. We need the sword and we need the spirit. And there are some people that know what the sword and the spirit is, and there are some people that do not. And so this is what we, the Lord has commissioned us to teach on the sword and the spirit on today. When you look at the sword and the spirit, we find in the Word of God what the sword and the spirit is. If you are a Bible scholar, you already know what it is. It is the spirit is the Holy Ghost, and the sword or the sword is the Word of God. And as we look at both of these things, we need both of these things to live in this life and to be in existence in our eternal life, to go into our eternal life. The Word of God is here to correct, rebuke, and to give a direction in our life. The Spirit is here to help that in guiding us. The Spirit of God helps us to be able to counteract the devil's agenda on our life. As we said last week, we said we talked about what the devil's agenda is in our life. The devil has an agenda just as well as God does. The devil's agenda is to, it's recorded in John chapter 10, verse 10. It is, and it states that the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. This is what the devil's agenda is. It does not matter if you are saved, unsaved. This is the devil's agenda. But the Lord has given his agenda in that same verse. He has told us that I came that they might have life and that they might have life more abundantly. Amen. And that that life is in him. That life lies in that we must possess to be able to live this life. Amen. And living in abundancy. Amen. There's a lot of things that the world might say, well, this can bring you life and this and that can bring you life, but there's only one way to achieve life, and that is through Jesus Christ, because the Bible lets us know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And the reason why we can say that is because he came to give us life. As I said, he came to give us life and that more abundantly. Amen. And in that regard, we have scripture. We have scripture to show that he came that we might have life. And he left, he poured out his spirit on the day of Pentecost so that we might have access to be able to say no to sin, so that we might be able to live this life blessed. Amen. Yes, in the Bible does say he reigns on the just and the unjust. And yes, every day that we wake up, we are blessed. But there are some that are living beneath their privilege. Amen. If you don't have the Spirit of God, the Bible says you're none of his. If a person does not have the Spirit of God, the Bible says you're none of his. Amen. But this is why we need the sword and the Spirit. And there's a reason why we need both. The Spirit, as I said before, the Spirit of God helps lead and direct us. The sword, which is the Word of God, we'll read that here in a minute. But the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, comes to cut out anything that is wrong in us. It also comes to give us instruction. It also comes to also comes to let us give us insight on how the power of God moves in our life. So, and that's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Approved for what? Approved so that we might be blessed. The Bible says in Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. His purpose, that's what we are, that's the approved. His purpose. Amen. When we look at the Bible and the way the Word of God enlightens our spirits and lets us know what to do in times of trouble. There are some preachers that will tell you, we don't need the Old Testament. That is a lie. Because the Old Testament is Christ concealed. As we've said before in previous shows, the Old Testament is Christ concealed. The New Testament is Christ revealed. Amen. Some prophecies that were given in the Old Testament were seen in the New. Amen. Some scriptures that were said in the Old Testament were re-said in the New Testament. So we need the Old Testament of the Word of God, of the sword, to help us understand the New Testament. We can't just have one and not the other. We can't just have the Old Testament and not the New. And we can't just have the New Testament and not the Old. Amen? Because if you look at the Word of God as a whole, there are 66 books in the whole Bible. Now, I know some people might say, well, there's books missing out of the Bible. Okay. And? And I say, well, that's a harsh statement. Why would you say and? Because if God wanted those books in there, he would put them in there. I'm just saying. If God wanted those books in the Word of God that we read, God would have made sure that those books were in there. I don't go against. There are some people, and I hate it when people say this. I don't read the Bible because, there's some books missing, or I don't read the Bible because this race wrote it, and it's a lot of he say she say stuff, or I don't read the Bible because it's a contradiction. There is no contradiction in the Word of God. None. Now, I will say this, though. When we look at the Word of God, and if you don't understand the Word of God, there are going to be contradictions because you are the person that's trying to expound on the Word of God. If they don't know the Word of God, of course there's going to be contradictions. Man brings the contradictions, not the Word of God. The Word of God is going to be the Word of God no matter what, no matter if Minister Adam is here, no matter if Bishop Carver is here, no matter if whoever, whether we're here or not, the Word of God is going to be the Word of God no matter what. The Bible lets us know that before any tiller of the Word of God become void, heaven and earth will pass away. So it is up to us to study the Word of God. The Word of God access the Word of God. When we read the Word of God, and I know it's the sword, because we're studying on the sword and the spirit today. When you read the Word of God, it teaches you. It gives you wisdom on how to counteract the devil, your flesh. Everything you need lies in the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying It's bad to read other books. It's nothing wrong with that. But for you to understand the Lord, you have to go to his word. Because in John chapter 1, verse 1, he is his word. He is the word. Amen. And the only way, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the truth. This is the truth right here. This is life. I always say it all the time that the Bible is a life book. It's a life book because it teaches you how to live life. And if I or another person don't have the spirit on the inside of us like we should, then we won't understand the word of God like we should. Have you ever heard the saying, if you pray, you'll stay. If you fast, you'll last. Well, if you read the word of God, you obtain wisdom from God. You read the word of God, you obtain wisdom from God. And it's not earthly wisdom that you're obtaining, but you're obtaining godly wisdom. Amen? Because he's the way, the truth, and the life. The truth. You'll know what the truth is. You'll know about the truth. You'll know how to handle the truth. There's a movie called, I think it's called A Few Good Men. And in that movie, we all know, I think it's Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson is in that movie. And in that movie, they're in a courtroom, and Tom Cruise's character says, "I want the truth." And Jack Nicholson's character in that movie says, "You can't handle the truth." Well, the only way for us to get the truth is to study the word of God. Amen? We have to understand the truth, and to handle the truth, we have to study the word of God. When a soldier goes into battle, they don't just go out there just willy-nilly. They study first. This life is a battle. This life is a battle. Everything that we are faced with. Now, everything that we are faced with in life is a battle. It is. Whether it be earthly, spiritually, financially, mentally, health-wise, it's a battle. Because when we live life, you're not going to go through this life. Nobody goes through this life with a flower bed of ease. Nobody will go through life like that. No, nobody. And if you haven't had any problems in life, like my former pastor used to say, keep living. Keep living. Because you're going to face some problems. You're going to face some obstacles. And guess what? You're going to need, I'm telling you now, you're going to need the word of God to be able to counter the enemy. You're going to need the word of God to be able to counter your flesh. You're going to need the word of God to be, there's a song that says, encourage yourself in the Lord. The Bible says, think on these things. How am I supposed to be able to think on these things if I'm not studying the word of God? How am I supposed to think on these things if I don't have the spirit of God on the inside of me to be able to understand the word of God? There's a lot of people that go around and they say they know the word of God, but they really don't know the word of God. The Bible says, search the scriptures. Amen. The Bible also says, Jesus said it best from his own mouth. Deny yourself and follow me. Search the Bible says in John, Search the scriptures. Because the Pharisees at that time, he was talking to the Pharisees. You think you know the scriptures, but you really don't. What you think you know, you really don't. Now, and I'm using me for an example. Do I know everything about the Word of God? No, I do not. I study the Word of God. I try to study the Word of God a lot. And what I do know, I studied it. Or if I don't know, I'll pray about it. I'll study. I'll go to my pastor. I'll go to ones that I know the Word of God. And, you know, I'll try to find, like, I had somebody come to me and tell me that they were, and I'm not going to say the name, but they began to tell me that they were Abraham's seed. And I was like, okay, you know, we were born as Abraham's seed, but I read in the book of Galatians that if you're not Abraham's seed, if you're not in Christ. Now, when this person said, if you can find it in the scripture that I'm not Abraham's seed, then I'll believe you. And it took me about a month. I wanted to search the scriptures and to find out whether or not just for this person, but just people in general. But I wanted to find out, and I searched the scriptures. And I found, and the Lord took me to it and found it. And, you know, I was happy to know that, hey, I know that, hey, you know, I know that this individual was, and I love this individual dearly, love him dearly, but I will not take down from the Word of God for nobody. And that's the way we need to be. Whether if it's, this is what the Word of God will teach you how to do that. You have to stand firm. The Bible says be season, in season, out of season. We have to preach this thing. We have to teach this thing. We have to live this thing in season, out of season. But we can't do that if we do not study how to do it. If we're not, you know, focused on learning about the Spirit of God. I remember one time I was reading the Word, and I just wanted to know more. I know all of the Word of God is about the Lord. I know this. But I wanted to know how Jesus dealt with people when he was on the earth. And at that time in my life, I wanted to know how Jesus dealt with people that, you know, didn't really like him. They had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the ones that put him on the cross, they had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof. Now, they didn't have the Holy Ghost because there was no Holy Ghost to be given out, but they still had a form of godliness. They had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. Amen. So when we look at the Word of God, we have to understand that, hey, number one, I have to study the Word of God with the Spirit on the inside of me. Because without the Spirit, we won't be able to understand what our ammunition is used for. Because the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is ammunition. And it unlocks other things. When we read the Word of God, such as prayer, the Bible talks about prayer. Pray without ceasing. Man should always pray. Prayer is a very powerful weapon. It's communication with God. Intercessory prayer. We talked about that here on the Spirit Alive Network. Intercessory prayer, going into the war room. We talked about that. Bible, when you access the Word of God, and I mean totally get deep into the Word of God, it lets you see things clearly about you, about your life, about the things of your life, about the people in your life. The Bible says it'll even teach you who to keep in your life and who not to keep in your life. The Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. That's a life thing. That's a life thing, because you got the wrong people in your life. You bound to have a mess up in your life. But if you got the right people in your life, you're bound to do great. You're bound to have greatness in your life. That's why I follow. It's good to follow great leadership, and I've had great leadership all my life, from my parents to my former pastor, Pastor Dorothy Mac Gordon. I mean, a lot of great, and I still have those. I have seen a lot of great leaders in my walk with Christ, and so I'm thankful for my spiritual heritage that I have, because I don't take it lightly, because the Lord could have chose anybody else. The Lord could have chose the drunk over there on the street. He didn't have to choose me. It's an honor and a privilege for me to be even chosen. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. It's a privilege and an honor for me to be chosen. The Bible says we're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. It's a privilege and an honor just to be able to go into the Word of God, just to learn about Jesus. It's a privilege and an honor. And I don't take it lightly, and neither should you. Neither should you. You should not take it lightly that you are able. Every day that you wake up, you should take it, you should count it as a privilege and an honor just to be able to, wake up in the morning and to be able to talk to the Lord and be able to read His Word and to be able to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, because there are so many people. Do you not know, here in America, we take this thing called life, this thing called liberty, for granted. We do. As much as we say that we are free, we are really not free, because we are bound up in the isms, in the schisms of life. We are bound up in the isms and the schisms of racism, ostracism, brutality, all of this stuff. We try to put people, when somebody tries to bring true life, America tries to put them in a box if it's not fitting the system of America. And I hate to say it that way, but it's true. It's true. Now, I've been alive for 35 years, and I have never, ever seen the stuff that I'm seeing right now in this world going on. I didn't see much of that when I was growing up. All of this stuff that our young people are seeing, there's nothing new under the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Yeah, there's nothing new under the sun, but it, The Bible says the generation shall wax worse and worse. This is why we need to study. This is why we need to take the sword of the Spirit. This is why we need to take the sword. And this is why we need the Spirit. Because the generations are waxing worse and worse. And when people start crying out for peace, that's when destruction happens. And we are seeing the destruction of not just America, but the world. Because we see the world shifting into, because it's the coming of the Lord is right at hand. And I usually wait until closer to being, you know, I give like maybe the last 20 minutes, 15 minutes to let my Spirit of Life family come on and say some words. But today I'm going to let my Spirit of Life family and anybody who's in the chat room, if you're in the if you're on the live stream on Facebook, you are open to give a comment. You are open to leave a question at this time. I'm opening it up because I want to hear from you all. I want to know your thoughts on this. The sword and the spirit are very, very important to our walk with God. They're very, very important. So I want to go to scripture real quick. And like I said, if anybody has a comment or a question, or if you're in the chat room, and you have a comment or a question, or if you're on the call today, you can chime on in. Amen. Spirit of Life family, you can chime on in as well. Amen.
Praise the Lord, Douglas. How are you, man of God?
Praise the Lord. How are you?
Good, good, good. Yes, I, you know, as it pertains to the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, we know that it is it's necessary for us to rightly divide the Word of God. And in order to do that, we need to study. But
right,
what drives us to study is that the Word of God never changes. The Word of God allows us to understand the heart of God, the mind of God, the will of God, the plan of God, and more than anything else, the plan of God, because so many people are trying to walk out this Christian walk without understanding what God is doing. And God is creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations. God has determined that he will be with his people and his people will dwell with him. And if we study God's word, there's a verse in Isaiah 40, verse 8, that says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever." So if you want something that is not going to change, the word of God is, and it also says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword and is able to discern the difference between truth and error. And so instead of listening to me, instead of listening to anyone else, when we study God's word, we become free because God tells us the deal, and we're held accountable before God, not man, before God. But if you don't study God's word, then that the power of that sword is no longer yours. And now you're relying on others to spoon feed you what God wants to get to you directly through his word, through the spirit in you. So wonderful topic. Right. Keep going, God.
Yes, sir. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God, and I'm thankful for that the Lord left us a sword. He left us the Word of God. He left his Spirit so that we might be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. He made sure that we are able to withstand everything that the devil brings to us. How do I know? Because the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. We need his Spirit to be able to withstand the enemy. Whether that withstanding be in prayer, whether that withstanding be in fasting, whether that withstanding be, you know, quoting a verse, you know, when we're going through, that's what it's there for. Bible says, think on these things. Amen. It lets us know who God is, what God does. This is the word, this is the sword. The sword lets us know, because I'm going to read it. And in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, I'm going to read this to you just to show you, because I don't like, me personally, I don't like saying something and I don't have scripture to back it up, because I won't say it at all if I don't have scripture to back it up. So I want to show you that the sword is the word of God. Amen. So if we look in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Now this is talking about the armor of God. Amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not our might, his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the sword of the Spirit is part of the armor. The Bible lets us know that we must study to show ourselves approved. Why do we need to study the Word of God? To be able to counter against the devil. Amen. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What this means is that my fight is not with my neighbor. My fight is not with Bishop Carver. My fight is not with, you know, this person over here and that person over there and you know, my father, my mother. That's not my fight. That's not the fight that we are looking at. Amen. When people come against you on what you stand for, that you're not fighting against them. You're fighting against the spirit that lies in them. That's why the Bible lets us know, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood means people. This means people, human nature. My fight is not with you. But it does tell me what my fight is, who my fight is against. It says, but against principalities, against powers. The devil has power. Does he have just the amount of power as the Lord? No. Does he have the power of persuasion? Oh, yeah. And he uses it. He has the power to persuade people away from what God has called for them to do. The Bible says if he could fool the very elect, he would. He would. Look at the story, or look at the beginning. Who was the first person that the devil deceived? Eve. He was such a coward that he didn't go to Adam. He went to Eve. He went to Eve. And he deceived her. And that spirit that was that the devil used, now the devil can use people animals. He can use things. We see it all the time. We see it. If you look on your TV, he uses media. He can use things just like I can use things. But the difference is that his power is limited. God's power is unlimited. That's the difference. You see, and the reason why we say that is because the devil can only do to you what you allow him to. The devil can only do to you what you allow him to do. It's facts. It's facts. If we look at the three Hebrew boys, King Nebuchadnezzar was used by the enemy. That spirit of wanting to flaunt himself, of wanting to be praised and wanting to put himself above other gods. That's the same thing what the devil did. The same thing. That spirit. But guess what? There were three young men that did not bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't bow. If we look at Job's wife and his friends, everybody that came against Job, they were used. When a person comes to you and tells you to curse God and die, that ain't godly. When a person tells you, you shouldn't go to that church. You should just walk away. And it don't necessarily have to be the devil talking in your ear. There are literally people that tell people, there are people that tell people you shouldn't go to church. For real. I'm dead serious. That's the spirit. That's a spirit. That's a demonic spirit. Anything that goes against, because the Bible says, forsake not the assembly of the brethren. So if somebody's telling you, oh, you shouldn't go to church today, or you shouldn't read your Bible, or what you reading that for, what you praying for, what you fasting, why are you doing that? First of all, it's none of your business. Second of all, do you really want to be technical about it? But first of all, it's none of your business. And second of all, I could be fasting and praying for you. But you wouldn't know that because, hey, you think that it's not expedient to do. But that's an ungodly mindset. That's an ungodly mindset. And the only way we'll be able to understand, like the Bible says, and I want to finish reading this, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That spiritual wickedness, when somebody tells you you should not live for the Lord, or somebody tells you, oh, I would tell them off. Lord didn't say tell them off. Lord says shake the dust from up under your feet. Lord says turn the other cheek. Well, I know the Lord said turn the other cheek, but I only got two cheeks. Okay. Oh, I wouldn't forgive that person. The Bible says forgive. You know what they did to you? And, you know, I have people in my life, and I've had people in my life, wondering why I can forgive so quickly. My boss on my job, she gives every employee at the end of the week, she gives us a thank you letter or a thank you note. And one of those notes, and she's done this ever since I got there. I've been there a year and I got there in, I think, July or June. Yeah, about June or July. And she gave me a note that says, this was a time where my boss was stressed out, and I could see it on her face. And she you know, kind of got a little bit snippy. And I'm like, and I just look, right? Everything all right? And she was wondering why I didn't get snippy back. You're going through something. She wrote in that note, she said, you are so forgiving. And that meant a lot to me because there was a time in my life where I could not forgive. There was a time in my life, and you might say, Minister Adam, you didn't forgive somebody? Yes. Yep. And I say it as a testimony now in my saved life. And yes, I would have busted the lake of hell wide open had I passed away or should have had the rapture taken place. Yes, I would have went straight to hell. I sure would have. And I'm just going to say it like it. I'm just going to say it like a T.I. is. If I had not forgiven that individual, I would have busted the lake of hell wide open for myself. And it would have been nothing nobody could do to get me out because I did it. If the Lord can forgive them, why can't I? And that taught me something. But it was because of the spirit that was on the inside. And it was because I read the word of God that said to forgive. That's why we need the word of God. That's why we need the sword of the spirit. Amen. But in verse number 13, it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, and you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girded about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, watch this. This is the part that I love because this is going to show us what we're talking about, the sword of the Spirit. Amen. In verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. And here we go. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. This helps us to live life. It does. It helps us to live life. We have no other alternative but to follow the word of God. Now, we do have a choice. Now, God, you might say, well, what do you mean we have no other alternative? I thought God gave us free choice. You know, we could be able to make choices. Yes, but you can't choose the consequences of those choices. If we, one wrong thing can keep us out of heaven. And I heard a man say on scrolling through TikTok one day, and I was watching this live on TikTok, and this man was saying that it's okay. Basically, he was okaying sin. And the guy that was actually doing the live was saying, hey, you can't sin and be a Christian. And he was talking about willfully sinning, not, you know, he was talking about willfully sinning. And another person got on there and was like, well, we sin every day. Okay, yes, there's sins of commission, omission, sins that we willfully do and sins that we don't know that we're doing. And yes, those sins that we don't know that we're doing, that's why the Bible says repent. And when you get done repenting, repent again. Amen. Daniel prayed, what, 3 times a day? Job repented for his family. Amen. He prayed for his family. He repented for his family. And these are the things that we should do. Now, when you're talking about a person that is willfully sinning, that's another story. They don't care. And we as people of God, we must understand that we have to live right. Because if we don't live right, we will not see heaven. We will not see, we'll see eternity, but we won't see eternity in heaven. One wrong move can keep you out of heaven. One wrong move, but a life of holiness can keep you upright, can keep you in good standings with God. And should the trumpet sound and you're living holy, I am. Most definitely, you're going to heaven. Or should you pass away? Oh, yeah. And you living right? Yeah, you're going to heaven. But I hate it when preachers, they know full well that a person that is passed away, done lived a sinful life, and they try to preach him into heaven. I hate that. Because you know full well, the Bible gives strict instructions on how to make it into heaven. He does. The Bible gives strict instructions on how to make it in. The Bible lets us know that in the book of Hebrews, follow peace with all men, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. It lets us know that. It gives us specific instructions on how to receive the Spirit of God. Let's see, John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, where Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. If you're not born again of the water and the Spirit, don't expect to see heaven. Specific instructions. Okay, so how do I receive the Spirit? Receiving it by receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. By receiving the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, watch what the Spirit will do. Watch this. Let's go to John chapter 14. And verse 26 and verse 27. Let's read that. It reads, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, and in verse 27 reads, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What is this verse saying to us? What are these two verses saying? Verse 26 is telling us that when you have the Holy Ghost, when you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, it will not only lead and direct you, it will teach you all things, which means it is a GPS. It will help you go through your life. It will help you get you through your life to eternity. It will teach you all things. It will bring all things to your remembrance. That's why the Bible says study to show thyself approved. You got to study the Word of God. When you're going through a test and a trial, and you've done study the Word of God, the Spirit of God will bring back those scriptures to your remembrance. You're going through a certain problem, and let me tell you, I am a firm witness of that. There are so many times where I have had to encourage myself and scripture just start rolling back. And I'd be like, Lord, thank you. And sometimes when I'm going through, I try not to tell anybody. I try not to broadcast it all over the city of Indianapolis because somebody else, and I learned this from my mother, when I'm sick, I have to be really, 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 really sick for me to be broadcasting it, to everybody because, sometimes, and when I say broadcasting it to everybody, I don't mean I'm going to tell somebody that I know can get a prayer through. Amen. I'm going to let them know. But most of the time, I only, other than when the Lord tells me to, especially when it's dealing with personal, financial, health-wise, I try to make it a point to not say anything at all until I come out of that thing. Why? Because I don't want the devil knowing how I feel. Because we give the devil ammunition. Sometimes when we go through, we give the devil more ammunition to help fight against us than what we should. All my back hurts. No. Sometimes it's good to be quiet. The Bible says there's a time and a place for all things. Time to talk, time to be quiet. And sometimes when I'm going through some things, now I've gotten better since I've been married. I've gotten better at it. When I first got married, I would not tell my wife a lot of things that are going on with me because I didn't want her worrying. I wouldn't tell my family because I didn't want my family worrying about me and all that stuff. And before I got married, I used to do that a lot. I used to not share a lot of things about how I'm feeling and what's going on with me and all this stuff. But now that I'm getting older and now that I've, put in some years of marriage, I've been getting a little bit wiser about, letting my wife know and letting my family know here and there when things are, very, very, if it's minute, then no, I'm not saying nothing. But if it's major, yeah, I'll let them know, but I'm not going to broadcast it to the world because I don't want the devil knowing. And sometimes, like I said, I learned that from my mom. I have literally seen my mother go through knowing that she was going through. She didn't say anything, but you could tell. And she wouldn't say a word. And she wouldn't say a word until she got the victory over that thing. And I watched her, and I remember watching my former pastor, Pastor Dorothy Mac Gordon. She would be battling going through something, and she wouldn't say anything. And I remember one time where she was teaching. I think she was either teaching or preaching or something. And she said, when you start feeling down, and I'm paraphrasing, dress up. Dress up. It'll make you feel better. Because, number one, you don't want the enemy knowing about what you're going through. Whether he did it or not, you don't want the enemy to know how you feel it. And you don't want people to know how you're feeling, because people can bring you down just as well as the devil can. They can, you over there, say, for example, say you're sick. You got a cold or something. Are you feeling, a little bit tired in your body? You just, you know, but you got people that will see that and be like, oh man, you look sick. I'm not trying to hear that. I'm already feeling bad. What in the world? Why are you telling me I look sick? That's why my former pastor used to always say that. Dress up. I have literally, since I've been on my job at the daycare, I literally sometimes went to work in pain. Did not feel like it. Did not feel like moving around. Did not feel like playing with no children. I didn't feel like doing nothing. But because of wise counsel, I dressed up, got myself looking the best way I could, and I put my shoulders back, had my head held up high, not in a snobby way, but had my head held up high, because sometimes when we get sick, sometimes when people get sick, they, oh man, well they start getting the woe is me. Oh man, I'm going, and this is thanks, y'all. Supposed to be thanks. I remember my dad telling a story of this sister. He used to work at a hospital, carrying patients around in the hospital. And every time he see this certain sister coming around the corner, he would see the sister coming, and he'd go the opposite way. Because every time he would see this certain sister, every time, he told me every time she would, oh, I got this going on, and oh, I got that going on, and oh, this is bothering me, and that's bothering me. You can't have that type of spirit and live for the Lord. You cannot have that type of spirit and live for the Lord. Yeah, you're right. You got to keep. We have a person on our Facebook live stream says, got to keep pushing forward. Yeah, you got to keep pushing forward. You got to keep pushing forward. The devil will try you. But this is what the Word of God is here for. And when we study the Word of God, it activates more things for us to be able to counteract the devil. When we read the Word of God, when we study the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, as we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. When we study the Word of God, it opens up our understanding to show us that we got more ammunition. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the what? The pulling down of strongholds. The devil is going to try to put us in strongholds. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you're going through depression. I don't care if you're going through animosity. I don't care if you're going through racism. I don't care what it is. You and I must study the Word of God. We must have the spirit on the inside of us to be able to counteract the enemy and the things that the enemy brings and the things that our flesh brings, the things that the world brings. We have social media is everywhere. We see a lot of things on our television screens that are ungodly. We need the Spirit of God to be able to counter. Why do we need the Spirit of God? Because the Bible says in Acts 1 and 8, it says, after the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of God, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have what? Power. Power. Power to say no to sin. Why do we need the sword? We need the sword to be able to know, number one, the Bible is not here just for form and fashion. I say it a lot. The Word of God, it is a life book. It's a life book. It's a life book. I want to take you to another scripture. I'm going to show you this. In the book of Leviticus, chapter number 6. Now, in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 6, starting at verse number 7, it says, and ye shall chase your enemy, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Verse number 8 says, I want to start at verse number 6. I read it was 6 and 7. I apologize. Verse number 6 says, and I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And verse number 7 says, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Verse number 7. Now, he's talking to the children of Israel. God is speaking to the children of Israel in this verse, in these two verses. He's letting them know that I'm not going to allow anything to happen to you. I got you. As long as you stay with me, I got you. In the book of Psalms, and matter of fact, let's go there real quick. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Let's see what the book of Psalms says. Let's see. Psalms, because this is what the Lord is giving to me to read. Let me see. Psalms 91. And it reads, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisy pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrows that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. If we are in him, this is what he's talking about. When he In the book of Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 26, verses 6 and 7, he was talking to the children of Israel. And he was telling the children of Israel, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, Psalms 91. If you stay with me, I'll take care of you. He said, nothing's going to harm you as long as you stay in me. As long as I'm connected with you and you are connected with me, nothing will harm you. Now, how do we tie that in with the sword and the spirit? If we read the word of God, which is the sword, it opens up our understanding to know, hey, God's got me. When those tests and trials come, that's why we say when the tests and trials come in our life, it's good to think back. The songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for what? Me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. I praise God for saving me. Wow. Okay. So if we have that song that says that, which is an encouraging song, when you actually say the words and listen to the words of that song, when we think of what he's done for us in the past, we'll be able to say that God is able, right? And then we'll be able to know, okay, if he brought me out of this, he can bring me out of that. If he brought me out of that, he can bring me out of this, what I'm dealing with right now. That's why the Bible says think on these things. That's why the Bible says, hey, in Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why does that say it? It says, Psalms 34, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Why? Why should I praise him at all times? Because the Bible said, the Bible tells us that, hey, if I give him praise, that he's there. He said that he dwells in the midst of praises. He dwells in the midst of praises. It activates God. Okay, so I'm reading my sword. My sword tells me that if I praise God, it'll move him to move for me. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, okay, so now the word of God just told me that if I praise him, my soul's going to cry out. My soul is crying out. Not only that, but I'm going to help somebody else. Let's go back to Acts 1 and 8. Acts 1 and 8 says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power to do what? To fight against the enemy. And also you will be a witness. The Holy Ghost will help keep your mind. The Holy Ghost, which is Jesus, will help keep your mind. He said, he'll keep your mind in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him, not on the things that are going around in your life. If you got your mind on Jesus and the things that the Lord has done for you, he got your mind in peace. And you're able to go through the tests and trials of your life. That is why the Spirit of God is a spiritual GPS. And the Word of God is our instruction manual of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will open up our understanding. That's why we read in John chapter 14, verse 26, that the Holy Ghost shall teach you all things and bring all things back unto your remembrance. That's the Holy Ghost. You ever heard the song, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what the Lord has done. Why do you think that song is there? That song is there to show us, hey, if I just think on the goodness of the Lord and see what he's brought me from, I can understand that God is still able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than I can ever ask or think. And I'm also, when I'm thinking on that, I start praising him. What is praise? Praise is a form of also seeking God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. You want peace? Praise him. You want peace? You want a better understanding of the word of God? Study the word of God. You want the Holy Ghost? I dare you to praise. You want a better control over your flesh? Fast. You want better control over what man says is depression? Go before the Lord. Stay before the face of God and pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. This is the sword and the spirit. This is what it is. We need this. We can't live without the sword and the spirit. I said that at the beginning. We cannot live without it. As much as people try to tell me, as much as people in my own personal life, I remember when, and I tell this testimony a lot, when I first moved out of my parents' house and I moved out on my own, and I had a friend ask me, so why are you still going to church? That was a dumb state. That was a dumb question to ask me, of all people. Why am I still going to church? Yeah, you know, you grown now, and you ain't got to, you know, listen to your parents, and, you know, you're an adult. Why are you still going to church? I didn't go to church because of my parents. I didn't go to church because of them. I surely didn't get saved because of them, because they didn't save me. I keep going because I love the Lord. I keep going because it's commanded for me to go. It's commanded by, not by pastor, not by my mother and my father, even though when I was living with them, it was a command. But it's been put inside of me. I look, when I go to the house of God, and I say this a lot. I say this a lot to people that say, I don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. That is a total lie. That's a total lie. And I'm going to show you why. In a relationship between a man and a woman, don't no man nor no woman want a one-sided relationship. And when you do not come to God's house on a consistent basis, don't you expect the Lord to bless you on a consistent basis. Even though he will, out of his love and out of his grace and out of his mercy. But you shouldn't expect the Lord to bless you because you're not obeying the word of God. You're not obeying it. But what about the people that go to church and still, that's no, because when you get to heaven, when you go before the judgment seat of God, God ain't gonna tell you, God ain't gonna say, well, why didn't you didn't go to church because Sister Sally was looking at you wrong? Sister Sally won't be there when you're being judged by God. Brother Paul won't be there. Well, I just thought it was, no, that's what got you in trouble. You think too much. Think it not strange. The Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery darts. That's what you need to be thinking. Think on these things that are love. Think on these things that have a good report, that are honest,
think on those things. Don't worry about Sally, and don't worry about Brother Matthew and Brother Paul and all them. Don't worry about them. If they want to act crazy, let them go on and act crazy. But don't let that mess up your blessing with God. Well, I didn't study the Word of God because I got my job and everything, and I don't have time. You better make time. God made time with you. The Lord made time with you. Now, nowhere in your life did God did not make time for you. He made time to wake you up this morning because he could have left you there. We as people need to think about that. We need to think about that stuff. God made time to wake. What if God said, well, I ain't going to take the time to wake them up today. I ain't going to take the time to put breath in their body today. I ain't going to do it. You dead if the Lord don't take the time to put breath in your body. There's a whole lot of people leaving off the face of the earth. But God chose you to live another day. He took the time to say, breathe. He stopped by your house to just say, breathe. He breathed the breath of life in you just so you can get up this morning. He came by to tell your joints and your muscles and your body to move. Because there's people waking up. There's people waking up that can't even move. They were moving last night. They ain't moving now. There was people that went to bed. That before they went to bed, they was able to see. Now they can't. Lord stopped by you. If you able to see, if you able to function normally, Lord stopped by and did that. What if the Lord said, hey, look, today I'm not going to take the time because, Joe didn't take the time to come to my house when I asked him to. What if he did that? You might say, well, Brother Adam, you making God out to be a hateful God. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. That's the truth. That's the truth. And I'm telling you this because this is the way God is. The Lord. And when I say God, see, there's a lot of gods out there. That's why in these last couple minutes that I have, I want to know why is it. Why, and I know why, because we're living in the last days, but why is it so bad? It's okay to say God, but when you mention the name Jesus, people go crazy. You want to know why? The spirits on the inside of them are trembling. They don't like the name. The Bible says demons tremble at the name of Jesus. The spirits that are inside of a person, when they hear Jesus, those spirits tremble. And they start, uh-oh. Because they know when they hear Jesus, when they hear the name, they know, uh-oh, there's a possibility Jesus might show up. His spirit might just show up and knock me down. That's why we got so much outrage when people say Jesus. And there's some people that got a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, and they wondering why. Let me stop, because that's a whole nother topic right there. That's a whole nother topic. And I only got a couple minutes left. I ain't even about to go there, because that's a whole nother topic. Which we both, I could go dive deep into that one too. But when we look at the Word of God, when we look at the sword and the spirit, we need both. We need both, y'all, to live this life, because it opens up everything when we study the Word of God and when we have His spirit to be able to understand the Word of God. It opens up doors of godliness. It opens up doors of righteousness. It opens up
things that we need in our life. In Jesus' name, it helps us live the life that God has called for us to live. In Jesus' name. I pray that you are blessed. I pray that you have a very, very blessed rest of your weekend. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Live Network. Amen. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name, this topic today was to enlighten somebody on studying the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, knowing that the Word of God is a weapon, and to know that we need His Spirit to be able to live, and we need the Word of God to be able to live as well. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name, as it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, I pray that you have a very, very blessed rest of your weekend, like I said, in Jesus' name. And as my grandmother used to say, and since I'm on Facebook, I can actually say what she said. And those that are listening to me on Blog Talk Radio, on the Spirit Live Network, as my grandmother used to say, if you do not see me again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. And as a great elder once said, if I have said anything to where you don't want to listen to me no more, and you don't like what I said, I'm going to say it like this, like an elder said. Meet me after. You can comment me on Facebook. And guess what? I'll repeat it all over again. God bless you in Jesus' name. God bless you all. I love you all. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. In Jesus' name. God bless you. All of our viewers on Facebook live stream as well. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Nehemiah 8:6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worship the Lord with their faces to the ground. When we receive a word from the Lord, our answer should be, amen. Let the church say, amen. Let the church say, amen. Let the church say, God has spoken, so let the church say amen. Yeah. Let the church, let them say amen. If you believe the word, let the whole church say amen. God has spoken, so let the church say amen. Lift your hands, lift your hands. God has spoken. So let the church say amen.